Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim polls shift, as we have documented many times. It's never a good idea to look at one set of polls and assume that everything is rosy or everything is lost. But the latest batch out of Rasmussen looks pretty promising, especially when it comes to critical states that Mitt Romney has to win. You look at Florida, and everyone thought that adding Paul Ryan to the ticket immediately put Florida at great risk. Right now it's 45-43 in favor of Romney, with the incumbent president at 43%. You got to like those odds, at least at the moment. Ohio is tied 45-45. And Romney now up a point in Wisconsin, 48-47, showing just how few undecideds are left there. The right track folks are only at 29%. So things looking good for the Republican ticket right now, even though it's obviously still very, very close.
Yeah, we should not, you know, overstate this. This is not super duper terrific numbers for Mitt Romney, but it's in the case that there has been something of a bump. And these are, you know, certainly states where Romney could have used it. I was kind of struck when I saw, you look at the Gallup tracking poll for the last couple of weeks, and it's really never actually deviated that much. The Gallup headline was Ryan pick doesn't really help Romney very much. Well, Romney went from up one to up two. And that doesn't sound so bad, now does it, Greg? My guess is that you're probably not going to see a dramatic, you know, margin opening up between these two candidates, although I guess it could be wrong. I think what I think is really interesting is you look in state after state, Obama's really in the mid-40s. Now, sometimes in a state like Pennsylvania, that puts him ahead of Romney, and sometimes in a state like Wisconsin, that puts him, or Florida, that puts him behind by a few points. One of the arguments you often hear around election time is this statement of undecideds break against the incumbent. And people throw around the 2-to-1 ratio. That is not always the case. Back in 2004, they split about evenly between George W. Bush and John Kerry. What I think is interesting is that you very rarely see a incumbent make up a lot of ground amongst the undecideds. In other words, if people know who you are and how you've performed and kind of have a sense of what they're getting for another 4 years, you're probably not going to make up a large gap. Your best case scenario is that you keep pace. So if all Romney really needs is a small lead and a win that I think most Republicans would take. So not super duper fantastic news out of these polling numbers, but they're moving in the right direction. He should get a nice bump from the convention at the end of the month. And we'll see if Obama responds with his convention in early September. My guess is that unless there's going to be some dramatic promise or change or bold initiative or dare I say, replacing Biden to allude to a future martini, I don't really know what Obama's can do to boost his numbers from where they are. Well, you know, the only thing he can do is try to drag Romney lower. Each day we think we can't imagine this race getting any nastier or dirtier, but they find new ways to surpass our expectations every day, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of points. First of all, to your last point, Michelle Obama was saying that if Obamacare is repealed, basically more people are going to die of cancer. So cancer clearly might be the new running mate, and we'll talk about that in a second. Also, USA Today doing an interesting poll of people who don't intend to vote or are very unlikely to vote. Most of them, if they were to vote, support the president, but they just aren't motivated to do it. They're not really into the campaign. They're not really into him like they were 4 years ago. And like you said, Jim, I'm not sure that exchanging hope and change for Mitt Romney as the devil incarnate is going to get those people off the couch and into the voting booth. It's not quite as motivational as his campaign was in 2008, to say the least. Martini number two now. And yes, the Joe Biden chronicles continue. We obviously well documented his comment 2 days ago in Danville, Virginia, where he said that Mitt Romney wanted to unchain Wall Street and put y'all back in chains. You can check out yesterday's Three Martini Lunch for more analysis on that. But one of the things that comment engendered was this reaction from Sarah Palin on the Greta Van Susteren show that same night.
Greta, if that's not the nail in the coffin, really the strategists there in the Obama campaign have got to look at a diplomatic way of replacing Joe Biden on the ticket with Hillary. And I don't want to throw out that suggestion and have them actually accept the suggestion, because then a Obama-Hillary Clinton ticket would have a darn good chance of winning. But really, Joe Biden really drags down that ticket.
So why bring it up at all is my point. Jim, it's not like the president is likely to do that. He said in an interview yesterday that he's fine with Joe Biden on the ticket. But even John McCain yesterday on Fox said that it'd probably be wise for Obama to replace Biden. He just didn't think Hillary Clinton or anybody else would want to be a part of the team right now that could very well lose come November. But just the idea that Republicans are suggesting this just strikes me as odd when Joe Biden is certainly a drag on the ticket if there ever was one.
Here's the thing. If Joe Biden used to be gaffe prone, but we could say, oh, he's getting better, this might not be such an issue. I think you could make the argument that Biden might be getting worse. Biden's open support for gay marriage, kind of forcing Obama to come out in favor of it, is probably one of the bigger examples of this. But I think it's just safe to say that, like, about once a week or so, perhaps even more frequently, Joe Biden will start saying something that will end up, you know, backfiring badly. This is, I would argue, this is what happens when you are elected a long time ago in a state that doesn't really have a hard-hitting press, i.e. Delaware, and people just get used to nodding and smiling at whatever comes out of your mouth. I mean, Joe Biden is just probably one of the most undisciplined speakers in modern politics. You know, everything from, you know, this election comes down to a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, or any other great classic ones. There are some folks who argue Biden is not that much of a problem and that, you know, those of us on the right are making too big a deal out of this. And I put this to almost anybody on the left. How totally confident are you that Joe Biden won't say anything that will cause a major issue between now and Election Day? I just don't see anyone who could seriously make the argument that Biden is not a liability, or at least a potential liability in this sense. Now, once Sarah Palin and folks on the right start saying he's got to ditch him, it makes it almost impossible for Barack Obama to ditch him. You know, he can't look like he's taking his cues from Palin and critics on the right. And as I said today, or in the morning jolt, look, one, it requires President Obama to admit a mistake. And Greg, you and I know he'll never do that.
Right.
Two, it basically says Biden's critics have been right all along. I think we are, but basically Obama can't afford to to concede that point. Whatever reason they came up to explain his departure, I don't think nobody would believe it. If he, I have a chronic fatigue syndrome or some terrible health issue or so, nobody would be able to believe it, because right now he seems perfectly fine and they're emphasizing how up to the job he is. And then fourth, the whole argument is, oh, Hillary Clinton's going to jump in or something. I don't know if Hillary Clinton would want to do this, to come in 2 months before Election Day and try to, you know, save Barack Obama's bacon. And I don't know if anybody else in the Democratic Party would really want to have the job thrust upon them. I just think that the image of a campaign in chaos would be way too damaging for the Obama campaign. So they will, you know, roll the dice with Joe Biden, hope that he's on his best behavior, hope that he doesn't embarrass himself in the debates and that, you know, he does no further damage. And we'll see what happens. I think that's a very big gamble. And I think it's very intriguing, the notion that it's not just that, oh, Joe Biden has always been Joe Biden. I think he's getting worse. I think he is getting more unpredictable and erratic and just off the wall in his comments. And that is, you know, he made a reference to America leading the auto industry in the 20th century. Greg, which I don't know, but I feel pretty good we can do that, don't you?
I think the forecast is looking good. I also think, as you pointed out yesterday, I think it was that we can probably win both world wars that are coming up in this century and even get a man on the moon by the time we're done.
Look, we are in the 21st century, and we'll see what challenges hold. But again, he constantly makes these kind of comments about FDR going on the television after the stock market crashed in 1920. Like just things where he's just blurting things out, and you know you just don't see, you know, not just misinformed and conflating ideas, and he is just a very bizarre figure to have a heartbeat away from the presidency. Living in the times we're in.
I think ultimately you're right, not only because the Republicans have brought it up, Obama can't do it, but it would also go against his normal thinking that I'm invincible, regardless of who else is on the ticket, and that would be an admission that he actually needs help to win, which we'll never get out of him. So on to Martina number three now, which focuses on the president. He was campaigning in the Midwest yesterday with the First Lady, and he sat down for a really hard-hitting interview with Entertainment Tonight's Nancy O'Dell. And so she asked him his reaction to Mitt Romney's comment that the president needs to go back to Chicago with his campaign of hate and division and anger. And the absolutely stunned Obama, or at least he tried to play it off that way, came back with this.
We're going around the country talking about how do we put people back to work? How do we improve our schools? How do we make sure that we're producing American energy? You know, how do we lower our debt in a responsible way. And I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way, we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
So you've got the president talking about all those different things. He didn't explain there, Jim, how he planned to accomplish all those things. But the answer every time is taxing the rich. So between putting men versus women when it comes to contraceptive, you've got rich versus poor when it comes to tax hikes. Pretty easy ad coming up here for the Romney campaign if he wants to do it.
I was kind of marveling at this interview last night. The idea that, you know, President Obama is doing interviews with Entertainment Tonight. He also found time to do an interview with People magazine, Greg. So taking the hard-hitting questions. Now, Romney and Paul Ryan did interviews with People magazine, too. And I suppose that doing these kind of lighter, fluffier interviews is kind of just, you know, part and parcel of modern presidential campaigning. It is worth noting, though, that back in May, when, you know, Obama had been answering questions about the Kardashians and 50 Shades of Grey and all that kind of stuff from the ladies in The View, it fell to a television critic for Entertainment Weekly to say, hey, you're the president of the United States. Can you stop doing the Jimmy Fallon and The Daily Show and all of these kind of celebrity shows? And can you actually do real news, take serious questions? And it's not just, you know, cranky folks who are noticing this. You know, Jake Tapper of ABC News has noted that he has not, President Obama has not formally taken questions from the White House press corps in more than 2 months, but he's now finding time for, all of these celebrity news outlets, et cetera. And, you know, it's very intriguing. You almost wonder if the celebrity ad is going to make a comeback. It just comes across as if he's hiding from the press, as if he's arrogantly dismissing, serious questions, as if he really is comfortable in the role of the president as a celebrity and less than, in the role of the president as a leader. And I think it's a huge target for the Romney-Ryan campaign. And I just have this strange, you wonder why Axelrod and everyone else are convinced this is a really good decision. If he was doing the serious interview, sitting down with the Wall Street Journal or Chuck Todd or Jake Tapper or, Schaefer or any one of these guys, it might be a different story. But he's snubbing them and doing, the woman for Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. It just comes across as silly and unserious, and the contrast with Romney and Ryan is pretty good for that campaign.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion I know why he's not doing another press conference. Last time he did it, we got the nice phrase, the private sector is doing fine. So Joe Biden's not the only...
I just wonder if he's afraid Neil Munro will yell more.
And that wasn't even a press conference, so,
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting. Apparently, Biden's not the only one who has their foot in their mouth from time to time in the administration. Jim, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
We'll cross paths at some point in the not-too-distant future as convention season comes upon us.
Exactly right. Jim is out tomorrow. I'll be out next week. But I'll be here tomorrow with Dan Foster, and Jim will be back on Monday. Join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.